Today's reading is found on page 1030. It's Luke, verse 11, 33 to 54. No one lights a lamp and puts it on a place where it will be hidden, or underneath a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lightened, as when the light of the lamp shines on you. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him in to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal and was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisee, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisee, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisee, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it." One of the experts of the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and the apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will prosecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Because I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all.' Woe to you, the experts of the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." When Jesus left there, the Pharisee and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say.
Good morning. Let's come before our great God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning, as we consider harsh words of your Son, that we will listen to them, contemplate them in our life, and seek to be transformed by them. Amen. Is there anything in life that you hate more than hypocrisy in others? Seeing others promise to do something and yet you know that behind the door they do the exact opposite thing. Does that frustrate you at work? Does that frustrate you at home? Does that frustrate you when you're with your friends? It's one of those things that really annoys us. We hate it at work. We hate it when we work for the government. And when you work for the government, you don't get much money for all the things you've got to do. Until it comes to about this time of the year, and all of a sudden, politicians are popping up everywhere wanting to say, "We'll give you this funding, we'll give you that funding." It drives you crazy, the hypocrisy of politicians sometimes. Our Prime Minister is battling whether she's a hypocrite or not with the promises she made before the election and after the election. We hate hypocrisy. In our newspapers and our TV shows, could a current affair exist if we weren't interested in hating hypocrisy, I wonder? We hate hypocrisy and we like to know when it happens so we can be damning of it. Because it affects our relationships. We hate the lack of integrity. And so we like catching out the politician who builds his platform on family values, but his life is anything but. The sporting hero is a model of what is good in life, and yet their life is full of debauchery. We hate hypocrisy. There is one thing, though, we often don't do when it comes to hypocrisy. Consider whether God thinks that you are a hypocrite. You see, the challenge for us all today, those of us who hate hypocrisy, and I'm going to make the bold statement that all of us do, the challenge for us is to spend time honestly considering hypocrisy in ourselves as we see Jesus attack the leaders of his people. Jesus is going to have some very serious and somber words for us. We've had them read. You should have already picked up on how serious he is about it. It's a serious word that he has. He's made some pretty full-on claims just through this series we've been looking in Luke, as Jesus has put his eyes to the cross and he's heading there now, helping us understand what it means to follow him. He said some hard things, and now he unleashes. The double-barrel shotgun is out, and he's got certain people in his target. See, what's the scene for this barrage? Verse 37 of chapter 11, when Jesus had finished speaking, and we'll see what he was speaking about in a moment, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Can you believe that he didn't wash his hands before the meal? What an outrage. There was more than that. To wash before your meal was an outward sign of purity, of cleanliness. And the Pharisees are, he's not even doing those things that we have outlined that God's people need to do. This has to happen. You need to wash. You need to be pure and clean. I can't believe he didn't do it. Can you believe he didn't do it? Just a little thing like that. I'm just surprised by that. Jesus uses this as a platform to unleash his harsh words. He calls them fools. You foolish people, he says in verse 40. He says to the people who are supposed to be leading God's people, you are blind to God. See, the idea of a fool in the Old Testament is to be blind to God, not to want to do his ways. The will of God is blind to you. To tell the leaders of God's people you are a fool is an insult of the highest magnitude. He said, you are wicked and full of greed, he says. Just earlier, in verse 29, he calls the whole generation wicked, and now he focuses in on those that lead this generation and calls them full of greed and wicked and fools. Let's see why he says that. Verse 39. Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is in the inside, the dish, to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Their wickedness, their foolery, is because of their hypocrisy. They're worried about the outer things. When you look on the inside, and what you see is a vacuum of goodness and a spring of greed and wickedness and all that God detests. And he says, how can you, on the outside, be one of God's representatives and on the inside, you're dead? It's just hypocrisy. And the rest of this section is an explanation of what this hypocrisy looks like in their lives. It's an attack on the Pharisees, and then later, as one of the teachers of the law jumps in, attack on them as well. And it gives us a moment to reflect on hypocrisy in our life. You see, Jesus doesn't mince his words here. He introduces all this hypocrisy with six woes. To say woe is to say this is condemning on you. To outline six in a row is to say this is atrocious. You are a disgrace. And we would do well to understand that all of these are about the hypocrisy that Jesus introduced in verses 39. And we would do well to think about, to sometimes we relate to these, not in when we see it in others, but in ourselves. You see, the first one we see is verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. This almost doesn't need explanation to me, in the sense of they're just giving out some herbs compared to justice and love. So the contrast is astounding, that these things, the tenth of what you're supposed to offer up, yeah, okay, doing that or not doing that, but that's insignificant and unimportant to justice and love. That's what God cares about. If you are God's leaders, you know that's what God cares about. I've come and that's what I've been talking about. And you worry about that, and yet you don't even give justice and love a moment's thought. We come to church every week, not with our mint or rue, but with ourselves. But when we go home, we don't really care about justice. Or at least we don't give it a thought or do anything about it. In our lives, in our family's lives, in our workplace, in the world at large, we don't even consider it. We come to church, we hear the love of God in Jesus who died for us and paid for our sins, and how astounding his love is. And yet when we go home, our kids don't often see our love. Verse 43, the second woe. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. They want to be popular. They want to be seen to get all the good stuff. They get to sit in the good seats. They get to have people come and say hello to them in the marketplaces. They're the celebrities of the time, at least because people want them to be to approve of them, and they like that. They want people to come to them seeking their approval. They lord it over them. What a disgrace it is for God's leaders who are supposed to serve to act in this way. Woe to you. In our inner parts, do we get involved in church because we like the praise that we get? It makes us feel good. We like it when we get thanked because we are a thankful people. We love thanking each other when we do things, and so actually that becomes more of the foundation of why we do what we do. We love to be up the front. We love to teach the kids. We love to get involved in our activities like we just had with the movies Under the Stars, because people see us and are very thankful of us, and it makes me feel good. We all have this inclination of wanting to be a celebrity in our own little worlds. Jesus says this is just hypocrisy when you are to serve. Verse 44, woe to you because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it. There's an irony here, isn't there? God's people are supposed to lead people to life, and Jesus is saying, you lead people into their graves. It's almost like you're literally doing it. Like you make these unmarked graves, hide them, so people can fall straight into them. That is how you're carrying on, you hypocrites. You're supposed to give them life, and you may as well dig the hole, put them in the grave, and cover it up. Do we sometimes, well, teach people about Jesus, but our behaviour has nothing to do with what we've taught? We teach people about Jesus, and yet in our quiet times of our homes, our relationships are anything but loving and caring. Do we teach people about Jesus and yet tell others, but this isn't that bad, it's okay to do this, this doesn't matter, or I'll ignore it. I'll let you go on and do those things, even though it's leading you to your death if you continue in it. Feel the weight of the barrage that Jesus, we're only halfway through. You think, are they just sitting here and listening to this? Well, one guy had some courage to ask, to say something and step up, a scribe, an expert in the law, a lawyer. He says in verse 45, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us as well." Oh, poor little guy. He's being insulted as well, and he doesn't like it. Oh, maybe Jesus needs to correct what he's saying. No, he doesn't. Verse 46, "And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." You guys are supposed to know God's way. You are supposed to know what God wants for his people, the Jews. You're supposed to help them, lead them into the regulations that God had outlined, not add extra things over and over and make it so hard to figure out what you're supposed to be doing and then not even assist and help them. What a hypocrite you are. Do we worry about things and burden people with guilt instead of revealing to them Jesus? Verse 47, he's not done. "Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs." These guys are so hypocritical that God's people of the past, his ordained prophets, well, you're more than happy that they were taken down. It's as if you killed them. You didn't actually kill them, but you may as well build the graves for them, make the tombs for them, because you are complicit in taking down God's ordained prophets. You're supposed to be with them, and you're on the other side. How hypocritical is that? Instead of building up, you tear down and destroy. Jesus has one more to go, but he gives a declaration of where they're at. In verse 50 to 51, "This blood that the generations of prophets beforehand is on their heads." Verse 50, "Therefore this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all." Condemnation. They are held responsible for their actions, for what's gone by previously, what's their hypocrisy now. This generation is held responsible. And it's so bad that the hypocrisy ends up in that those who they should be leading to Jesus, they are hiding. "Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." The hypocrisy of it all, they should have the key and be opening the door and saying, "Come on in." And yet they go to another door, open that up, and shove people into a place that's away from God. And they say, "That's the right way." The hypocrisy of the leaders of the day stunk to Jesus. It was an abomination to him. See, hypocrisy goes against everything that God wants. There's not a hint of hypocrisy in him. There should not be a hint of hypocrisy in his people. And so his leaders, wow, what a warning it is for anybody who takes on any leadership position. How can you tell people about Jesus, but then at home, you've lost the love of God. You're leading people to their death. you don't serve God rightly. You see, Jesus hates religious hypocrisy. And any religion, whether it be in the Christian realm or any other religion, that does not have Jesus as a solution to everything ends up being hypocritical. Because what you have is the outside doing things to get right with God, when the inside is a vacuum, when the inside does not have God. Because the only way the inside can be changed is through Jesus. Without Jesus, all you're doing is outer things. That's all you're doing. Religious hypocrisy stinks to Jesus. How do you respond to such damning words? Well, it's clear that these words lead us to repentance. They lead us to say, I need to turn away from these things if I have not, and I need to come back to Jesus, who can actually turn the insides around. So what the Pharisees are going to do? Well, instead of doing that, they just seal their fate. Verse 53. When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. That is such a damning response to the words Jesus has just given them. Their pride has overridden their repentance of their hypocrisy. We'll oppose him even more. These words are harsh. I'm not going to listen to these words. How am I a hypocrite? That is outrageous. That person is so hypocritical. I'm not the hypocritical one. They are. They go to attack Jesus, besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him, and good luck with that. They haven't had a very good run trying to catch Jesus in his words, and they're not going to. The Pharisees sealed their fate with their response. How about us? How do we respond? To the very next verse in 12:1, when we look at chapter 12 next week, we see that we are to be on guard of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Where do you struggle with hypocrisy in your life? Is it the way you act in private compared to your public life? Is it the promises you make at work to get, well, people on side, but you don't fulfil them? You teach your kids the love of Jesus and yet you rule them with an iron fist and don't show them the love of God. You love reading the Bible and you go to Bible study. You understand that God has called your life to be like his. And yet your relationships are anything but pure. So we need to repent. We need to see that the Pharisees are the antithesis of how God wants his people to be. They are wicked. They are part of the wicked generation in verse 29. We've seen that people were accusing Jesus last week. We saw they were accusing him of working for the devil, and he slammed them. Those who wanted signs, he says, that is ridiculous. You might have looked at in your Bible studies last week that he said the only sign they're going to get is the sign of Jonah. The story of Jonah is one where he went and preached repentance to a wicked nation, and they turned to God. That is the sign. That is the call. We repent and turn to God. We respond to Jesus. We turn to him. And as we do this, we need to feel the weight of hypocrisy. If you understand how much Jesus hates it with those words, surely it should motivate us to get it out of our life. See, Jesus hates hypocrisy and he wants to reveal to us himself and the light. And that's what we did with the kids' spot, with the kids. We see that Jesus actually, before he came down on the Pharisees, he was speaking about the fact that the light is here, that he is here. It is plain. He says in verse 33 a little earlier, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. See, the revelation of Jesus is here. He's not hidden. He's not away in a corner and we cannot understand him anymore. It's not confusing. He is not covered up. And he has been abundantly clear to that generation, to their leaders. But just because the light is here, you need to see it as well. If you just know that it's there, but close your eyes, you've got a problem. Verse 34. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. See, the light is there, but it's no good having a light if your eyes are closed. Right? Have you ever got up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water? You turn on the light? Is your next thing to do close your eyes? That would be pretty pointless, wouldn't it? I've got up without turning on the light and walking straight into my door. That's because the light wasn't there. The light is here, and so we don't close our eyes to it. If your eyes don't see things properly, you can end up with hypocrisy. So if I tried to read my sermon just with my left eye, we're going to have a problem because I can't actually see the words on my page because my left eye is faulty. It's going to be a big problem for you and I. If we see Jesus and we don't perceive him properly, we're a wicked generation. Instead, it has been revealed to us. We see it, we perceive it, and we accept it. See, Jesus is saying, I am here, you follow me, I am going to the cross, come to me, live my way, and I will save you. It's he who brings us into relationship with himself. It is he who goes into the inner parts of us and turns that around. We can't purify our inner selves like we wash our hands, but Jesus' blood for us on the cross can. And because of that blood on the cross, we get rid of hypocrisy. So I want to say to you today, if you know your life is full of hypocrisy, you need to see that following Jesus requires an inner response where we rid ourselves of hypocrisy and replace it with his light. You need to come to Jesus saying, I'm not going to continue to do things for you because they're just going to make me outwardly a fraud. Instead, I come to the cross and I trust in you. And those of us who love Jesus, when we see the love and justice of God is what God cares about, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves and pray that we will not fall into hypocrisy. I want to conclude, though, with a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement from such harsh words is that, brothers and sisters, does Jesus speak to you with the condemnation of the Pharisees? Does he? If you're a follower of him, if Jesus' blood has paid the penalty for you, he does not. This is a condemnation of those who refuse to accept the light. Those of us who accepted Jesus, he speaks to us. Remember Martha? Remember the way he spoke to Martha when she got it wrong? Not with, woe to you, Martha, you are going to burn in flames. No, he says to Martha, 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 you've got it wrong. Jesus speaks to his people kindly, encouragingly, severely, but with love. How do you want Jesus to speak to you? With the condemnation he leaves for the Pharisees and those that are full of hypocrisy who refuse to accept him as the light? Or do you want him to speak to you as he spoke to Martha, guiding, correcting and shaping to be more like himself? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your hard words. Even when we see them in their just brutal clarity, we thank you for them because it helps us see how we need to shape our lives. Father, help us to follow Jesus, trust in him. Help us to rid our lives of hypocrisy. We hate it in others. May we cut it out of our own lives. Amen.